Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Beasley swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd.
This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's do this tonight. We got a big show in store for you. First segment, we're talking Barcelona, Real Madrid, international soccer, some of the great derbies around the world that took place this weekend. Second segment, we're hitting up the U.S. men's national team in Mexico. What should the approach to that game be with the knowledge that you've got Panama and then Costa Rica after it? I think this is a really tricky way to start this off, so we're going to talk about that. We've got sound as well. Houston Dynamo, Colorado, we'll do a little bit of a breakdown of that game and where the Dynamo are, new signing for the Houston Dynamo. And then Houston Dash fans, we'll have on James Clarkson, your head coach. We'll go to Barcelona in segment five with Jordi Sunyer of TV3 talking about current Barcelona under Xavi. And then Brian Charetta, a little bit more U.S. men's national team talk to close out the show. So we got a great one for you tonight. Always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They will take your case, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, car, boat, motorcycle accident. You need representation, you know who to go to. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. You give them a call, 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. Okay, I start the show off with just a really uplifting Sunday. I don't know if you remember, but going all the way back to 2005, and even prior to that, been doing a lot of stuff down at the Texas Children's Hospital and visiting patients with soccer balls. Then I met Tom Clare. We started having banquets. We brought people over from, you know, Alex Stepney, the legendary Manchester United goalkeeper. We brought over Norman Whiteside, Brian McClare, and had these banquets. All of this was for fundraising and pediatric cancer awareness. Now, in the early stages, we donated the money back to the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, which was a 501c charity. We switched gears. Now we're donating all the money back to the Snowdrop Foundation. So we were doing clinics all the way back then, soccer clinics that would raise money. There was one time where I think I had like 7 or 8 sites around the city. We had one over at HBU with Steve and Misty Jones. We had them all over the city. But the one soccer club that stayed with it for 15 years, Cyfair Dynamos. So they did one on Sunday, and so did a newbie to the game here, and we're really excited for them because they did a wonderful job. SG1 Soccer with Alex Parra and Norma. And then, of course, the Dynamo Soccer Club and Cyfair with Olivier Finidori, Jim Walker, all the great people out there. I want to thank those two soccer clubs. I want to thank their staffs as well, who are coming out during a time period where basically it's spring break. You might be getting a break from training and working at soccer fields, right? It's a grind. It's fun. It's rewarding. But, you know, they need some downtime, too. They all came out. They donated their time and their effort. And then the parents and all the kids who signed up. And we raised about $7,000 in and around that neighborhood. We had former Aston Villa Premier League player Earl Barrett tell his story about how he got to the highest level. We had Josh Gardner, who's a local product from Houston that won 2 MLS Cups. We had my great friend and partner also, Eddie Robinson on TV, who's also won multiple MLS Cups, speak. And then the stars of the show, Ethan Hughes, who's a cancer survivor, who's a motocross rider, and Kylie Austin. So I just want to say a heartfelt thank you. There's been a ton of people also that allowed me to come on the shows, their shows, and talk about it. So, you know, Holly, Rachel, Lauren, a real big thank you to all of you. And then, of course, all the people that helped push the awareness of it, you know, who were nice enough to simply retweet it even, you know, or say something nice about it and encourage people to sign up. Thank you very much. So we appreciate that. We also appreciate our great friends at LamontBrands.com because that's where you can get Soccer Matters t-shirts. You go to LamontBrands.com, you order the shirt. I think it's $20. You get the shirt, really nice, light, soft, good material. It's a Soccer Matters shirt. And all of that will also go back to the Snowdrop Foundation. So there you go. Houston soccer community at work. Great stuff. All right. Producer extraordinaire Andrew Carlson behind the glass here. Let's start off with some Barcelona. They put a big bathing bath beatdown on Real Madrid. They go into their house at the Bernabeu. It's a 4-0 result. Let's go to goal number one from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Makes it 1-0 for Barcelona.
Dembele, can he have a dart at Nacho? He hasn't really so far. He does this time. Gets to the byline. Aubameyang is there! And Barcelona lead!
That's music to my ears. Get to the end line. Square a ball back. Give your strikers a chance. Ronald Araujo off a corner and poorly defended here. I mean, this was nightmarish from Real Madrid. This makes it 2-0.
Here comes the corner. Araujo! 2-0! Barcelona are bossing this game, and now they have clear water. Ronald Araujo with the goal for Xavi's side.
All right, and then it would be 3-0, and this is coming pretty quick. Ferran Torres at the beginning of the second half, the timeliness of these goals from Barcelona, and this under Xavi, this is what many people are beginning to think might be a watershed moment. I would say pull back a little on that, but Xavi's ideas, his methods are coming through. This makes it 3-0.
Away by Alaba, but picked up by Frankie de Jong. Aubameyang through again. He's got Torres up there with him. Here's Torres. Will he take this one? He does. It's 3. My goodness me. Barcelona here are having a party at the home of their biggest rivals.
In front of 60,000. Now, let's take out La Liga standings. Let's take out the Champions League. And put this in context, and I would love to get Barcelona fans, Real Madrid fans, give me a call at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Give me your take on this game and put this in context for you, for me, and our listeners. Remember, Karim Benzema did not play in this game. So let's look at this match on its own, and then we'll put it in the context of the big picture. Because remember, Real Madrid, well, we'll do it now, is in first place in La Liga, got a 9-point lead, and they're also still in the Champions League. But, man, as much as everybody's blaming Carlo Ancelotti, and I would love a Real Madrid fan to tell me if it was really the tactics of Ancelotti or just an absolute effortless game from Real Madrid. I mean, seriously, Karim Benzema leaves and you crumble like that? Barcelona had 60% of the possession. Real Madrid had 40. 4 shots on target, 10. 695 passes for Barcelona to 471. They had 89% passing accuracy if you're a data guy. If you watch the game, they were superior really in every single category. That'll be the last time, though, I think also that Real Madrid wears the black strips at home when they play their greatest rivals. But this was a beatdown. Courtois, Carvajal, Alaba, Nacho, Casemiro, Cruz, all big names, Rodrigo, Vinicius, Valverde. And actually, Valverde had a chance in the first couple of minutes that might have put Real Madrid up 1-0. Vinicius was flopping, talking to the ref the whole time. Didn't seem very focused to me. But Barcelona, clearly the better team. The Xavi effect is working. Now, this match, you know, is going to get built up beyond belief in Barcelona, and we're going to talk to Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona about this. But it is quite a remarkable turnaround after the huge financial problems. And I think if you've watched Barcelona closely, you have seen things beginning to come together. They've done some savvy business. A guy that Andrew Carlson knows, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, could not hack it at Arsenal under Arteta, and now seems to be thriving at Barcelona. So, interestingly enough, Aubameyang was coming late to training, all kinds of things when he was at Arsenal, and now seems to be a good citizen and scoring goals for Barcelona. No Karim Benzema, that's what we said. Ancelotti criticized for his tactics, moving the shape of his team around. Some want him fired. Okay, sure. Yeah, that would be a good move. I never thought he was going to take the job again there, Carlo Ancelotti, because of the way they backdoored him the last time he was there. But some people want him out. A lot of what I read was leaning on him at fault and criticizing his tactics. Now, that may have played a part in it. The truth usually lies in the middle. But I got to tell you, you watch those players, they were poor. They were inattentive, not focused, not up for it. And sometimes that does come back on a coach. All right, 713-780-3776, the number to call in if you've got something to say about Barcelona and Real Madrid, and if you watched it. Now, look, we all know politically this is a huge singular moment. You throw everything else out. You go into your rival's stadium, and you beat them down 4-0. That one hurts. That one hurts for a fan base, supporters, everything. So El Clasico's complete, and it was a beatdown. All right, so Barcelona on the rise. Real Madrid's going to have to pull itself together here. They are in the pole position to win La Liga. All right, we had Boca River, and in the famed Boca River match, the Colombian Sebastian Villa, it was a 1-0 victory for Boca, despite the fact that they were outplayed in a lot of the statistical categories, the possession, the shots, all of that. Here's what it sounded like. This was a second half goal from Villa.
Mete Vázquez, busca Villa, pasa Villa. Gol! Gol de Boca.
You could tell that was from South America, right? Villa. 1-0 for Boca over River Plate. By the way, there was a number of Major League Soccer connections in this game. Leandro González Pires was actually a part of the goal, conceded, played at center back for River Plate, used to play at Atlanta United. Also, Ezequiel Barco got the start. And then you also had, on loan from Austin FC, Tomas Pochettino came on in the 82nd minute. All right, the number to call in here, 713-780-3776. We can talk about any of these big international rivalry, Derby, Clásico matches this weekend. We also had Tigres and Rayados. We'll get to that. But let's, again, phone line, 713-780-3776. We'll go to the phone lines. We'll bring in George. George, what's your thoughts on tonight's Soccer Matters here presented by the Daspit Law Firm?
I watched El Clásico. It was wonderful. I just kind of wanted to say that I'm not surprised whatsoever that Barcelona did so well. Really, their only real problem was, was financial and just dysfunction generally. And, I mean, they're still lousy with talent. And, Aubameyang seems like he's going to flourish now that he's not the main guy. Like, it's easy to blend in over there and not feel like all that pressure on your back. But, man, I think Real is in some deep trouble if Benzema's out. Like, that is the guy over there. It may not seem it, but, man, since Ronaldo left, Benzema has just been amazing. And you take him out of that attack, and you can see where it's going. I mean, they need to come up with something.
Was that surprising to you that a team with the likes of, Modric, Casemiro, Cruz, Vinicius, because simply the absence of Benzema, that they would crumble like that in this game? And you can't tell me you thought this was going to be a 4-0 win.
Oh, not at all. And you're right. It's a surprise with that much talent and just that much name recognition. But looking at it now, after the fact, I mean, Benzema is just such a key component in the scoring there. I mean, whether he's got the ball and he's using it or whether he's just drawing the attention. I mean, looking at it now, it's not quite so surprising. But, man, it also kind of exposed just how old, you know, Real seems to be getting. At least I don't feel like the new guys have really, you know, moved into that primary role yet.
Yeah, David Alaba had a nightmare, too. On the fourth goal, he kept Barcelona onside. And listen, I would have picked Barcelona as a real chance to win this game. No question going into this with the knowledge that Benzema is not playing. And then also with the knowledge of what the progression has been under the head coach Xavi. I mean, people, you know, these guys are going to put this guy on a mantle here. It's too early to get crazy, but he's obviously acting like the real deal as a manager.
No, it seems like he feels right in that role. And it's just great seeing him on that sideline. I'm sure it's an infectiously, confident atmosphere.
I love it. And I love the fact that he would not take the job earlier when they were trying to bring him into it because he said he wasn't ready for it. All right, George, thank you very much for the phone call. We'll continue to take him. 713-780-3776, by the way. Tigres, a real French influence. 2-0 over Rayados, André-Pierre Gignac and Florian Thauvin, the two Frenchmen scoring. Take it a break with some Led Zeppelin. Right now, we remind you, tomorrow we'll drop our Burning Topics presented by Cactus, our great friends out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. That's where you want to maybe watch the U.S. men's national team and Mexico on Thursday. A lot of great sights around Houston. Hugh O'Connor's Pub will be a good one to take it in. As we go to break here, I got a four-pack, Houston-Kansas City, 8 days from now. Four-pack, Houston-Kansas City, NWSL. Get your NWSL on. Call in 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Encarador. It's got a
corner. Opa!
Two goals from Frenchman, André-Pierre Gignac, Florian Thauvin. Tigres 2-0 over Rayados. Gotta think that Monterrey, Mexico is the capital of maybe soccer in this region. And we know how many people from Houston are from the Monterrey, Mexico, from Monterrey, Mexico. I would say I've talked to a lot of my friends from Mexico. They say about 30% of the Mexicans in Houston are from Monterrey, which makes them either Tigres or Rayados fans. So think about that. And believe me, there were people that drove back across the border to go take that game in. No question. We'll drive all the way back down there. So Tigres, 2-0 winners over Rayados. Rayados did not have Funes Mori. It's a work in progress for Vucetic. And we'll see what happens in the future with Rayados, but Tigres getting goals from their two Frenchmen. So Gignac continues to keep scoring goals. Okay, road to qualifying has not been smooth for either the U.S. or Mexico. That makes a lot of sense. It all gets back in action on Thursdays, on this Thursday. Now, the reason it hasn't been smooth either is I think it's incredibly difficult to put teams together to come back in and play these games, and then they go back to their clubs. But the other thing we have to consider here is other countries have grown competitively, no question, in CONCACAF. So It's every game can be challenging. Every game can be challenging. Okay, we got altitude and smog. That's a part of it in Mexico City. How unfair is that? You know, why don't we just play this game in Miami? Remember everybody when they were whining about the snow? Mexico will use altitude and smog to their advantage, like the U.S. used sub-zero temperatures. There's too much at stake here. Sponsorship money, too much at stake. Yeah, money. Christian Pulisic and the United States have been in Houston. They've been training here for a couple of days. So a bunch of things going on here. Weston McKennie injury issues, Serginho Dest, they're both out. Brendan Aaronson is out. He's got an MCL injury. This is really, really tricky. This is tricky stuff, I think. How do you look at these three games if you're Greg Berhalter? And I'll take your calls at 713-780-3776. Do you approach this game against Mexico simply you put your best 11 out? Do you start Pulisic from the start? Or do you let everybody kick everybody and then you look to bring him on to win the game later, plus preserve him a little bit for the ever-important game against Panama? 4 points, you got a 98% chance to go into Qatar. 5 points, you're going. So do you put your best 11 out? I'm asking you. Or do you do a bit of a mixed lineup with an eye on the Panama game, which is your only game in the United States out of the three? And by the way, the U.S. goes to Mexico and Costa Rica at the back end of those. And they've never won a qualifier in either of those countries. So there you go. Put your best 11 out, mixed lineup. Do you start Tyler Adams? He's on a yellow. Do you go with a younger, more athletic energy team? Can't sit back in Mexico. You'll get crushed. Can't sit back with a striker like Raul Jimenez and allow him to have a lot of room and get into a penalty area for a large portion of a game. Tata Martino, by the way, is under some real pressure, too. There's always been rumors of him being replaced. If he were to lose this game, well, could be fired on the spot. They've got injuries, too, Mexico. Andres Guardado, Julian Araujo, Funes Mori, I mentioned the Rayado striker. 713-780-3776. So, do you go with your 100% best 11 lineup with Tyler Adams carrying a yellow card, or do you mix it up a little bit? You know, do you play a Paul Arriola and get his energy up front with maybe Tim Weah? Then bring on Reyna and Pulisic later in the match, maybe trying to win it. Do you go with the three set in midfield of Adams, Acosta, and Musa? Do you play with three center backs and Robinson and Cannon out wide? No Serginho Dest. But Greg Berhalter has a lot of tough choices to make here. And it is the first time through qualifying for many of these players. The U.S. have beaten Mexico in three straight. Imagine if they were to get a result in Mexico City. And again, at stake, going to Qatar. They need 4 points out of three games for a 98% chance of progression, while 5 points, they're in. So some thoughts here. Let's just throw out a shadow lineup. Okay, Zach Steffen in goal. He's coming in with an injury as well. Cannon, Zimmerman. Zimmerman's got to play. Miles Robinson's got to play. Anthony Robinson's got to play. Adams is on a yellow. Kellen Acosta, I assume, is going to take the Weston McKennie spot. By the way, Weston McKennie has been their best player and their most energetic player when it comes to influencing others. Yunus Musa. Is that your midfield? Ferreira, Pifok up front. I mean, if you're going to go off of people scoring goals, Pifok is scoring goals in Switzerland. Jesus Ferreira is more of a withdrawn forward. Do you save Christian Pulisic, your star? Do you know, because he's going to get kicked. They're going to kick the crap out of him. Do you let the edge of the game get taken off? You let people lay into each other a little bit? There'll be a lot of that. And then if you're Mexico, Ochoa, Araujo, Julian Araujo of the Galaxy, Nestor Araujo, Cesar Montes, Arteaga, Rodriguez, Edson Alvarez of Ajax, Hector Herrera, obviously, Dynamo fans will be interested to see him, who's at Atletico Madrid. He'll be trying to boss the midfield. It's going to be a great test. Raul Jimenez, obviously, doesn't need a lot of chances to score. He's a good finisher. Chucky Lozano, where's Tecatito Corona? Corona's got two assists. He hasn't scored a lot of goals in a long time. Alexis Vega, Chivas. And Tata Martino under real pressure. 713-780-3776. So Andrew Carlson, producer extraordinaire, do you put your best 11 out against Mexico? Or do you think ahead and maybe play kind of a mixed lineup that might move a little bit of away from what people would expect?
Even though you've been relatively successful against Mexico this year, and you've got results this year that I think should lend you confidence heading into this match, just because of how important this cycle is. I mean, you've laid it out here, Glenn. This is it in terms of going to Qatar. I think that it's extremely important that you're getting points in the back end of this, and I don't want to say you're throwing away the Mexico game entirely, but I think it's better if you throw out a mixed lineup and ensure yourself the best possible opportunity at getting points in those following two games in which I think you'll have a much better chance at collecting some points versus going to Azteca on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a fair way to look at it. I mean, it's tricky, though, because if you overthink it, if you overthink it and you just don't look at it as a chance to get 3 points or to get a point, you know, sometimes these things compound in a very different way. So it's tricky. It's really, really tricky. Man, and Tyler Adams, to me, who's got to be the focal point of your midfield now without Weston McKennie, with a yellow card, do you start him? He gets another yellow, he misses the Panama game.
It's very tough because I feel like the midfield without him in it would be extremely, extremely lacking in terms of bite and the ability to potentially control the game in any capacity. And I almost feel like if you're not starting him, you're almost conceding the game entirely just because of the control that we expect Mexico to have in the midfield. So I think that you have to start him just because of the message that would send to the rest of the team. But you would send him out there with the instructions of you are not, you know, sliding into anything that would be remotely dangerous or cause the ref to potentially reach for his pocket.
Yeah, good luck for that. That's a very difficult thing to a player. Go out there and your bread and butter is tackling, right? You're a ball winner. You're a tackler. And you're going out against Mexico. You can't. That's a tough one. That is really, really a tough one. Whew, I don't know. Greg Berhalter's got a lot of decisions to make here as the U.S. men's national team in Mexico will kick it off on Thursday. Then they take on Panama. And then after that, they will take on Costa Rica in Costa Rica. All right, so let's listen to some of the sound from Walker Zimmerman. If you want to weigh in on the U.S.-Mexico game, the Barcelona-Real Madrid game, 713-780-3776. I put this out to you listening in tonight. Do you play your best 11? Do you play Tyler Adams on a yellow? Or do you play more of a mixed lineup? Maybe bring in guys later in the match like a Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna. Reyna also coming off, you know, injury. Maybe that's the best way to use him is to utilize him off the bench. Let the edge, let the energy get taken out of this game. And then you bring in a couple of your skill masters to try and produce a moment to win it. So that's one thing you can think of. By the way, when you look at these rosters, you know, everybody says, oh, it's, you know, your form for your club team. Not necessarily always the case. Martino and Greg Berhalter have picked players that they trust and they've had success with in the past, despite the fact that maybe they're not in the best of club forms right now. All right, let's go to center back Walker Zimmerman. This soundbite is about knowing the responsibility that the United States national team has in this cycle.
We know the responsibility, again, that we have as players, representing way more than ourselves, representing this country. And I think for the most part, everyone has gotten behind that. We accept that responsibility. We know that it's our job to qualify, and that's our expectation. And so, again, guys are prepared. It's been a really good environment as guys have rolled in the past day or two. And so now we're just looking forward to one game at a time, and that's what's going to get us there. So I think, yeah, accepting the responsibility, not letting the pressure mount up on you or feeling overwhelmed by it, and just collectively going out and accomplishing our goal.
So that's Walker Zimmerman. He's been really good for the U.S., and he's been very good, particularly in some of these Mexico games. Now, again, I mentioned it's three in a row for the United States over Mexico. Now, you look at this game. It's a World Cup qualifier. Are you really thinking about the Nations League or the Gold Cup? I don't know, but I think it's in Mexico's head that they've been beaten three times in a row. I think it's in Tata Martino's head. I think Tata Martino is dealing with a very difficult federation, as always, in Mexico. They're talking about Miguel Herrera coming back and all that type of pressure. So here's Walker Zimmerman on the confidence of the recent success that the U.S. men's national team has had against Feltree.
I think we can take some confidence from those games, just knowing that, hey, we've done it before. We can do it again. But at the same time, it's qualification. Those games don't matter anymore. And it's, again, about qualifying for the World Cup, and it's a very important game for both teams. So, sure, we can take some confidence that, you know, we've played well in the past against them this year.
All right, so Azteca Stadium, you know, it's the legendary stadium. It's been, I mean, so many significant historic moments in soccer have taken place there. It's remarkable. They got an amazing museum in there. This place is going to be just, you know, seething and boiling over here when the U.S. and Mexico, kick off on Thursday. So here's Walker Zimmerman talking about the challenge of playing in Azteca Stadium. And, of course, remember, smog, altitude, these things do play in.
It'll be great. It'll be a great challenge for us. Not too much experience of playing in Azteca for a lot of guys. Certainly we have a few who were there and involved last cycle. And we know it's going to be a challenge for sure. But again, just in the same way that we prepared for that game in Minnesota, from a mental standpoint, I thought we approached that the right way. And this is no different. Yes, it'll be challenging. Yes, we're up for that challenge. And so there's no doubt in my mind that we'll go out there with a good mindset and push through the elements, continue to encourage one another as we make our way through the game and come away with a result.
You know what? That was a really positive answer from Walker Zimmerman. And he mentioned there, not a lot of guys have played in this environment before, so it is something to keep an eye on. Maybe Ricardo Pepi gets a start. I mean, a lot of people are saying Pulisic, Pepi, and Gio. I'm thinking you might want to save Pulisic and Gio Reyna. If you're going for it, it's Musa, Adams, and Acosta in midfield. I don't think there's any question. Maybe DeAndre Yedlin gets a start over Reggie Cannon. Who knows? Well, we'll see. All right, we're going to take a break here. Big thank you to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go down there and see Justin. All right, get yourself in a sedan. They'll take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done really easy. Advantage BMW in Midtown have been longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So a big, big thank you to Advantage BMW in Midtown. They got me in my X5, and I've bought and leased from them for many, many years now. So thank you, Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. We go to break. Another four-pack to the Houston Dash, getting their match back at home. They'll play in Louisville on Friday, and then on next Wednesday, they'll be back here at PNC Stadium. So how about a four-pack to the Houston Dash, Kansas City, 713-780-3776, caller number 5. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Andrew Carlson, when I say go big with music coming back, that's going big. With Black Sabbath. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 here. Quick word here for our great friends at Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. We do have Danish Dynamite coming up later in the show with Jan Christensen. You know his distinctive voice, and we appreciate Danish Inspirations, the best in modern contemporary furniture in Houston. They've been longtime sponsors of this show. It's DanishInspirations.com. And, of course, it's Soccer Matters, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, let's get into some Dynamo talk here. We can go back and talk about the other first two segments here, but we'll get some Dynamo talk in here now. 1-1 with the Colorado Rapids. All right, so first half, we have to look at this and just say, really, the Colorado Rapids applied pressure in differing areas of the field. They were the better team in the first half. They got a goal off a corner. Here's what it sounded like on AT&T Sportsnet.
So, unfortunately, the computer just crashed, Glenn. Give me a second, and we will have the sound for you. Give me about 30 seconds or so.
We got to get those gremlins out. So, Marc-Anthony Kay would get the game's first goal. The Dynamo would tie it with Tyler Pascher at the very end of the game. And if you were at PNC Stadium, it was a fun night there. You saw William Yarborough hit a terrible goal kick. We'll get back to that in a second. But here's how the Rapids took the 1-0 lead.
Ball curled in. Ball came first, tapped in at the back post. It's 1-0 Colorado. The Canadian international, Marc-Anthony Kay.
Dynamo at the very end of this match. You know, they brought on a number of players. Paulo Nagamura brought on, a number of players who all came in and played well, actually, and kept the energy and the effort up. But this looked destined to be a 1-0 win for the Rapids. Until a poor goalkeeper kick by William Yarborough in goal for Colorado. It goes directly. Their line is pushed way up the field. He hits basically a line drive. He doesn't get underneath it. He doesn't get any air under it. And it goes directly to Memo Rodriguez, who, by the way, completely alert, controls it, brings it down, puts in Tyler Pascher, and it sounded like this to tie it up.
That's a poor goal kick. Pascher's on here. Comes out! Oh, it's all tied up! William Yarborough just gifted the Houston Dynamo an opportunity!
So Tyler Pascher gets the goal, and I think for him it was a much-needed goal. But it's a big point, and everybody leaves in a very positive place because of that goal at the end of that game. Again, Colorado, to me, the much more superior team in the first half. The Dynamo struggled in possession, too many unforced errors. Darwin Quintero did not get the room that he got against Vancouver. Slightly less effective. And you go saying to yourself, okay, you know, Colorado 1-0. Better team. Probably should have had a second, if not for an unbelievable save from Steve Clark. Now, you might criticize Clark a little bit on the corner. You would have thought he would have been able to get out and punch away the corner, which ultimately goes to Marc-Anthony Kay, who drifts to the back post. He's completely unmarked and taps it in. But Steve Clark made a remarkable save on Jonathan Lewis. So Lewis and Michael Barrios tucked really central in the first 45 minutes in behind the Colorado Rapids striker Diego Rubio. I think in this game, honestly, I think Robin Fraser cost the Colorado Rapids. He had him sit back deep. Now, part of that is because the Dynamo were pushing the game as well, but I think a lot of it was because that's what he wanted to do. So now the Dynamo are getting a little bit more of the ball around the halfway line. They're getting confidence through their passing. They're getting more pressure. They're getting entry into their penalty area easier. But it still took a late Tyler Pascher goal off a mistake from William Yarborough, who played at León in Mexico, to get the draw. So here's Paulo Nagamura, the Dynamo head coach, on the team's performance against the Rapids.
Very simple. Not good first half, very good second half. We play a very good team. Let's start with this. We play a team that is, it was first,
It was the first place in the conference last year, and they kept most of their group. They're very well coached by Robin, and I'm going to say this again. But I think from our point of view, I think we started the game the way that we wanted. I think we gave too many balls away in the first half. We're not in sync with our possession, and that allowed Colorado to get into the game and push us back. But second half was much better. I think we were more aggressive. We were moving the ball around much better, and that made us create more opportunities, push for the goal. And to be honest, we could easily – it wouldn't be unfair if we score a second there at the end. But, again, tough opponent, and we'll build from this.
What are the types of games where you grind it out, you stay in it, you get a break, you punish the mistake, and the sign of a good team when you don't play your perfect game, you still take points at home against Colorado, who, by the way, last year won the Western Conference. So here's Tyler Pascher on what the comeback shows about the character of the Houston Dynamo.
I think it shows a lot of character from every single player, from players starting to the players on the bench. You know, it takes every player in the 20-man squad during the game to come on and make an impact, whether it's supporting guys or whether it's coming on and making a difference. So, you know, it shows a strong character that we believe in ourselves, that, you know, if we go down a goal, we're not afraid to come back and score two goals and win a game, you know. So it definitely shows a great building block for us, and again, character from all the guys to fight to the very end and, you know, almost win the game tonight. So it's definitely great to see.
With five available subs, it is very different now, and he is absolutely right. I thought all the subs came on and kept the energy up and did a great job. Tyler Pascher getting that goal. I was happy to see him get that goal because I hope this is going to platform him into another area because, let's face it, the Houston Dynamo have a lot of competition in the wide areas with Fafapico, Tyler Pascher, Corey Baird, and now a new young player named Tiago who comes from Flamengo. Has not played a lot with the first team there. It's a loan with a purchase option. He's the under-22 initiative. I'm assuming he's an inverted winger is the book on him. Cuts in with his left foot. So that means you got Tyler Pascher cutting in on his left. You got Tiago now cutting in on his left. You got Fafa cutting in on his right. And you got Corey Baird, who sometimes flip-flops and cuts in on his right when he goes to the left. But I want to see more Dynamo players bringing a little width at times, for me, I think, to balance that and to be able to turn the corner and get to the end line, because I think that's what Sebas Ferreira needs. He needs some players getting to the end line on their strong foot and getting decent delivery in it. That's a tough one right now. Sebas Ferreira comes in as biggest contract in Dynamo history prior to the Hector Herrera signing. Transfer fee and contract. He's now with Paraguay playing in the World Cup qualifying. They're not going to make it to the World Cup, but he's getting a real opportunity for a great soccer playing nation. He's frustrated. Thor came on. The draft choice sat at a Duke with the name Thor. Ulfarsson brought some energy. Now, very different than starting the game like Sebas Ferreira, but brought energy and, you know, had a great turn and a hit that was, you know, handled easily in the end. But I thought he brought a nice energy to the team as well. So those guys coming off the bench, they helped change and or keep the attitude going. And then you pounce on a mistake. Here's Paulo Nagamura. Now, as I talked to you about Tiago, that's more competition in wide positions. Now, I'm wondering if Tiago could be somebody. He is built low to the ground. He is very gifted technically. I wonder if he's somebody that might be tried at the top of the Dynamo midfield, you know, behind Ferreira, maybe as a bit of a skill player. He does have power. I wonder if that's something that might be experimented with by Paulo Nagamura. But here's Paulo Nagamura back on the subject of the striker Sebas Ferreira, who's still looking for his first in MLS.
To be honest, Sebastian was better this game than in the last game. I think he's still a long way to go. I think he's adapting to the league. Today, I think he had one good chance with the header, another maybe half a chance in the first half. But again, it's not easy to come from South America. It's a totally different league, and he's adapting. He's going to take time, and we're just trying to make him more comfortable with the team, make sure that he understands the way that we want to play, and hopefully he can evolve quickly.
So this is a challenge for a 38-year-old coach, and I think Paulo Nagamura is handling it very, very well. So when Sebas Ferreira came off, he was frustrated. You could see it. You could see it when he walked to the bench. And why wouldn't he be? And frankly, if you're a manager, why wouldn't you want him to be? As long as he doesn't lose respect for you. And I don't think there's anything like that going on. At the end of the game, I saw Paulo Nagamura with, I think, his arm around him, talking to him on the field. Now, remember, Paulo Nagamura was a very combative, tough, strong-minded, strong-willed midfielder. Very good player. So that's an ongoing thing with Sebas Ferreira. And I found that really, really interesting. And to me, a very, very good sign. Holding each other accountable is something Nagamura wants to see as well. And here's his thoughts on that.
I mean, this is the part of coaching, right? You don't want to be that joystick coach or the coach that is always telling all the players what to do. When you have a good group of players that can understand what is necessary to be a winner, to be a winning team, I think they hold themselves accountable on their own way. So it's a great sign. It's a sign that we move in the right directions, that we have guys that care, and that's the most important part. They have to take ownership on that as well.
No question. That is a true statement right there. And the more competition you get in the team, generally the better the rise of accountability. Now you look at the right back position that was owned by Zarek Valentin. Now he's fighting with Zeka, and I'm interested to see more of what he brings, because I think the Dynamo have to improve their wide game, especially when Darwin Quintero's out there. I would love to see the wide game continue to enhance and grow. And a lot of that with inverted wingers has to come from your outside backs. That's a lot of work to do. But right now, the right back position, tremendous amount of competition. Griffin Dorsey doesn't want to let it go. Zeca's here from Brazil, not to enjoy the fajitas and Mexican food in Houston. And then you got Zarek Valentin, who's been a starter for a lot of years in Major League Soccer. There's a big fight in the outside back position. Adam Lundqvist, maybe a little less competition on the left side of the field, but he's in that mix as well. Center back position, it's not a given anymore. Tim Parker didn't play this game. Normally the captain. Teenage Adebi got his first start. And then you got Daniel Starris, who I remember some Dynamo fans going that you weren't really thrilled with, who's been pretty solid and pretty mistake-free. Daniel Starris told me on this radio show, he's not coming here to be a backup. So right now, I think the center back positions in a lot of ways is up for grabs. It's called competition. And that's a good thing. Adam Lundqvist on the spirit in the squad.
It's a different tone in the locker room. It's more calm. We know what our game plan is, and we know if we don't perform well, we know what we need to correct, and we're always keeping each other accountable. And I think we're very eager to get this team back to where it belongs. So, I mean, we're all trying to stay positive. We're pushing each other, but still, like I said, keeping each other accountable. That's the main thing. And I think it's very, very important and that you have that in a team if you want to be successful. And I think we've also spoken about the difference between being a good team and a great team is consistency. And we strive to be a great team, so we need to have performance week in and week out. So that's what we try to do, and that's why we're always pushing and striving for better performances. And it's like I said, it's everyone is on the same page, and we're all pushing each other towards that direction.
All right, you heard it here first. Last year, the Houston Dynamo didn't win a road game. They're going to win in Miami. They're going to win it inter Miami after this international break. All right, so I don't know where you were when that storm rolled into this morning, but I was laying in bed, and I heard, like, I have a rooftop over my bedroom, and I heard a lot of the furniture getting rolled around. So I ran out there, started grabbing some of the pillows so they wouldn't blow away. It was pounding down rain. I got absolutely soaked. That's why the brilliance of Andrew Carlson playing Give Me Some Shelter. Give Me Shelter by the Rolling Stones as we go to break here. Here's what the second hour is going to look like for you. I'm going to come back. We got a number of great, great guests in the second hour. James Clarkson's going to talk some Houston Dash. I'm going to ask him straight up. Never made the playoffs. I think this owner, Ted Siegel, I think Ted Siegel is not spending money to not win and get in the playoffs. I think it's pretty evident. But we'll talk everything Houston Dash about the changing roster, the league, the addition of new franchises. Great stuff from James Clarkson, the head coach of the Dash. Jordi Sunyer will go to Barcelona, Spain. He'll set the record straight on how to position this Barcelona beatdown of Real Madrid. And then we'll finish up with more from Brian Ciaretta. I think you'll like Brian Ciaretta's stuff, too, because Brian he's got a good beat on the form of players coming into the U.S. men's national team, which sometimes is very important. Other times it really doesn't matter. It almost is like a refresher, and people find their game again coming back to a national team. All right, we'll take a break here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Houston Dash Talk next.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.